Right now, though, we turn to an issue in the world of healthcare. California has a bounty of natural resources, from agriculture to timber and much, much more. But the state is also sitting on an unstable foundation that threatens to shake everything to the ground. Earthquakes. One of those earthquakes more than two decades ago is still sending aftershocks through hospitals across the state, including here in the Valley. Valley Public Radio's Jeffrey Hess explains.
On January 17th in 1994, before the sun even rose, the peace of a Los Angeles morning was broken when the ground began to shake.
Mother Nature's big blow hit in the pre-dawn darkness. It measured 6.6 on the Richter scale and was centered near Northridge. As of now, the toll from...
That's news reporting from LA's ABC television station as the impacts of what would soon be called the Northridge earthquake became clear. When the dust settled, 57 people were dead and tens of billions of dollars in damage had occurred. Among the most important buildings crippled were 11 hospitals that were either damaged or rendered inoperable because of the quake. That spurred the legislature to act and require every acute care hospital, regardless of their seismic risk, to be able to withstand a major earthquake. Now, more than two decades after the passage of the law, many hospitals in Central California are still struggling to raise the money necessary to do expensive expansions or retrofits. Even some of the biggest hospitals in the area, Mercy Hospital in Bakersfield, and Community Regional and St. Agnes in Fresno, all have buildings that need improvements to withstand a major quake. However, unlike public hospitals, they do not need to seek the approval of voters to issue bond debt. In the last 14 months, three public hospitals, Cahuilla Delta, Tulare Regional, and Kern Valley, have all sought public support for a bond for earthquake improvements and been soundly rejected.
Each floor would have to be gutted, and again, they would be... literally driving iron pillars through the hospital.
You could almost visualize as you're pushing gurneys through the hallways, you're having to duck.
That's Gary Herbst, the chief financial officer of Cahuilla Delta Hospital in Visalia, talking about what it would take to retrofit the cramped 50-year-old acute care wing called Mineral King, which he says is impractical. However, building a new earthquake-compliant wing would cost more than $500 million. So the hospital went to the public and lost on a $327 million bond with just 42% support to fund the construction of an entirely new wing.
We have to find a way to replace those beds. This community is depending on us to continue to be here, to take care of them, to provide the health care that they've come to expect.
After voters rejected the proposal so thoroughly last May, Herbst said they've had to return to the drawing board with no clear path forward. And here's the dilemma. The clock is ticking for the hospitals. The state says if they aren't up to code by 2030, they will be shut down. That's a big reason why so many hospitals are going to voters now to get this expensive and complicated work underway. Waiting, say hospital CEOs, pushes them ever closer to being shut down by the state for non-compliance. Earlier this month, Kern Valley Hospital lost a $32 million bond vote on its third attempt to secure community funding for new construction and retrofitting of existing structures. CEO Tim McGlew says it doesn't matter what the reason is. The bottom line is the work has to be done, or it's curtains for his hospital, which provides critical care in the Lake Isabel area.
My biggest frustration has been the fact that the government never provided any funds to make this happen. There was no new reimbursement streams that were created to allow hospitals to begin saving for this. There was no, monies that were set aside to make this happen. It was an unfunded mandate.
Compounding the problem is the fact that these hospitals have to win their vote with nearly 67% approval. That's a monster climb for any issue, let alone one where they're asking people to willingly agree to tax themselves.
School districts only have to get 55% of the vote in order to get a bond passed or a tax measure passed. Hospitals and everyone else has to get 67%. So this has been a pretty tall order.
McGlew says factoring in high poverty rates in the area, coupled with a strong anti-tax bent, and he sees little chance of a bond passing, especially since residents seem to believe the state will simply extend the deadline as they've done in the past. Don't count on that, says the Office of Statewide Planning and Development, or OSHPD, which oversees hospital compliance. In an email, a spokesman says there's no mechanism to extend the deadline and no provision for the state to come in and take over. It's fix or build a new hospital or else. But Tulare Regional Medical Center CEO Benny Benzivi says the community doesn't seem all that inclined to see it that way.
I think there's also a great anti-establishment sentiment, a wave going through the country right now, and I think that's affecting these bonds as well. It's unfortunate because people don't wait to get sick, so we can't wait till the wave passes to build a hospital. We need to build a hospital now.
Tulare Regional is the third hospital in the valley to have an earthquake-proofing bond fail. Last August, they sought $55 million to complete a long-stalled hospital tower. Benzivi says if they can't get a bond through, their only option will be to seek a hard-to-acquire loan, which he says would be a waste compared to a bond.
It's inevitable that at some point the community will have to carry some of the cost. That's why it's a community hospital. The loan would be great, but that creates an undue burden of the hospital. And so instead of using the money we'd use for loan payments towards more and better services, we'll have to redirect that money towards loan repayment.
All three hospitals say they have or are considering turning to the legislature for special exemptions or to lower the vote threshold. But all three also admit that's an unlikely outcome. But in the meantime, they're watching as the months and years tick by and sounding increasingly urgent alarms to a public that appears to have little interest in listening. For Valley Public Radio News, I'm Jeffrey Hess.